Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
It's the sweetest time when the sun gone in and the moon starts shining and we sip some wine and the incense burn and the records turn.
Welcome to Beer Me on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Jane. I live, work, and I love beer here in D.C. During my time in culinary school, I gained an appreciation for good beer, continued my studies in beer at grad school at NYU. Since then, I've been a beer director, beer bar general manager, and I get to continue to explore the beer world with all of you wonderful listeners. Every week, I will have a different guest from different parts of the beer world, brewers, importers, bartenders, educators, essentially to help us explore this fascinating and dynamic world. Whether you're new to beer or you are a seasoned professional, we will have something for you. Today, I am joined via phone by Dan Bronson. He is the general manager at Single Cut Beersmiths in Astoria, New York. We met many years ago when I was living in Astoria, New York. I was the beer director at 11 Madison Park, and I added Single Cut to our kind of local draft line that I always kind of reserved for to have like a local line, essentially. They make really beautiful Pilsner, but they are known the world around for their IPAs. Dan, thank you so much for calling in. How are you doing today?
How are you?
I'm great. I understand that you just landed in Nashville.
Yeah, I certainly did. I've never been to Nashville before, though it's been high on my priority list of places to visit. And I don't want to rub it in too much. But as I'm talking to you now, I have my feet kicked up on a beautiful porch, watching the Cumberland River gently swift by. It's pretty damn nice where I'm at right now.
All right. Well, I will be there in about 4 hours, so very, very excited. The reason why we are both headed to Nashville is the Craft Brewers Conference is there this week. So lots of really fun events and seminars and meetings, and it'll be a lot of fun. So I'm very excited to go there as well. I've never been to Nashville either, so excited to check out some new breweries. Especially, what was it, the new one that has opened up in the past couple of months, Bearded Iris?
Bearded Iris, yeah. I'm excited to check that out as well. I haven't had any of their stuff, but I've heard only great things, and I've heard really great things about the people, too. So I want to see you there, SJ.
Nice. So I want to talk a little bit about Single Cut itself, located at 1933 in Astoria. Very apt address, as that is the end of Prohibition.
Yeah, it sure is.
So
yeah, that worked out pretty well.
You guys didn't do that on purpose? That just kind of, I mean, I guess you can't change the address, right? It's just kind of what you get.
Yeah, it's what you get, you know, in the world of New York State, or especially New York City real estate, you know, nice things happening are few and far between. So we're very glad to get to make our permanent forever home at 1933 37th Street, especially because by a twist of fate and more than that, some good luck and ingenuity, we actually were able to buy our building the year before last. So we are there forever.
You bought the building. It's not just renting.
No, we own it. That is our permanent home. We adore our little 5,000 square foot box. We've used every square inch of it. And as of next week, we'll have been finished with our final expansion. So we built the whole second floor throughout our brewery and put some offices there, which is really great. We're you know, a quick growing company, even though we're going on 6 years. So the past 6 years, we've had an owner, three officers, and a whole grip of employees sharing one 8x4 foot brick office with no windows. So we're really excited to finish this expansion.
So I want to talk a little bit about Single Cut, give people some, you know, ideas of what you're all about and what you all do. So you're started in 2012 by Rich Buchetta.
Yeah, Buchetta, yeah.
Yeah. And Single Cut is the name of a guitar. There's a lot of kind of music themes that run through, you know, beer names and then the actual, you know, tap room itself. You have a never-ending music-focused tap room. But, you know, kind of what are you all about? If you were to give like a little blurb to somebody to kind of give an idea of what Single Cut is all about.
Oh, totally. So, you know, like you said, we opened in 2012. But really what we're all about and why we opened is, we're just about fresh sounds and flavors. So all of us are big music nerds. All of us are musicians to varying degrees of skill and accomplishment. Myself, very much on the bottom of both of those things. But I still absolutely adore music. And then when
Wait, you play music?
I do, yeah. I'm not going to say any of the names of the band out of fear that you find a deleted MySpace page with my terrible college, high school band music on it. But yeah, absolutely. I love playing music. Mostly just stringed instruments. All of us are guitarists. I did most of my band work playing bass and as a vocalist, especially when I went to college for. But singing don't pay the bills too well. And to be honest, I just didn't enjoy it.
There will definitely be some internet searches later. All right, so everyone is a really, really into music. You know, kind of comes together, makes some great beer. What, I mean, you all started with Pilsners originally?
Yeah, so 1933 is a pretty special number for us. Not only is it our address, and as you said, it was the year that Prohibition ended. But in Queens, there had not been a production brewery or anybody making lagers since well before Prohibition. So when we opened in 2012, and just the color, that's crazy. I mean, there's literally millions of people in the borough of Queens. If Queens was like its own city, it would definitely be in like the top 7 or 8 in the country, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's just massive. And then we have almost 17 million people in the overall New York metropolitan region. So the notion that there hadn't been a lager made, you know, in almost 100 years was just a step too far. It was crazy. So when we found that spot, it was really important to us. We wanted to bring lager, fresh, properly made lager back to New York City. So when we opened, we made a big investment, not just in money, but in real estate. And we put in traditional horizontal lagering tanks, which were amazing. We still have them. We still use them absolutely every day. And basically, the whole idea there is that the tank is inverted. That way, so the lager yeast, which likes to ferment on the bottom of the tank and spread out, it's a little bit happy and healthier fermentation, gets you that super clean, super crisp finish. So we were all about bringing fresh lager back. And then, if you can remember, way back in the day, in 2012, back when the IPA was a specialty product, we wanted to bring super fresh and vibrant IPA to New York City, which really wasn't the thing then. There were some great IPAs that were being made, especially out of Greenpoint Steelworks, which is now which was the home of Kelso Brewing, which is where a lot of our staff traces its DNA and a bunch of other New York City breweries do. But somebody really focusing and dedicating themselves to making like hyper fresh, super, super vibrant IPA wasn't really a thing yet. So we wanted to make sure that we did that too. But most importantly, the reason why Single Cut exists is we needed some place to store our massive vinyl collection and a place to put all the speakers where the neighbors wouldn't yell at everybody for you know, cranking into 11.
That's totally fair. And you know, something that fascinated me was to install those lager tanks and to have, you know, to do lagering is not cost effective for a brewery. It takes a lot longer for the fermentation process. It takes up a lot more space. And as you illustrated earlier, space is not an easy commodity in New York City. And time for a new brewery, you know, is something that is precious. So I really did respect the fact that, you know, you set out to make, you know, proper lagers right from the get-go, which is something that is very, very difficult, I think, for a new brewery.
Oh, man, that means so much to us to hear that, because it's really true. And we're at like a really cool point in beer right now, where the vast bulk of craft beer consumers are really keen and really excited about very intense flavors, which is great. And then kind of our 10 percenters now, who have been drinking really extreme and intense flavors for a while now, are starting to expand their palates too, and are kind of coming back to these more nuanced, subtle, and from a brewer's perspective, a lot more difficult and time-intensive flavors, which, you know, this whole process of traditional lagering. So 1933 Pilsner, which is obviously named after the number we keep quoting, which is our address in the year that Prohibition ended, is now actually the only lager we make, because it's so time intensive. It takes us the better part of 2 months to make a batch the way we want it. You know, it takes a really, really long time, takes up a lot of real estate and a lot of manpower. And by the time we brew that beer, it's time just to brew it again. So if there was one thing that was kind of the only downside about growing and really getting to kind of blossom with the IPA renaissance in New York City, is that we can't make more lager. We're out of space and we're out of time. But it's a good problem to have, because we get to make our favorite beer, which is that Pilsner. It's also, I think, in my humble opinion, our best beer. I just wish we could make more of it so we could share with our friends in D.C. and in Boston. And right now we just kind of have to keep it to ourselves in New York City.
Yeah, well, that is a shame. I'm very, very sad that doesn't come down to D.C. Unless for special occasions. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dan Bronson from Single Cut Beersmiths on Beer Me Radio. Welcome back to Beer Me Radio, recording live at the Line Hotel. I am speaking with Dan Bronson from Single Cut Beersmiths of Astoria, New York. He is calling in from sunny and beautiful Nashville. He's there for the Craft Brewers Conference, and I will be there very shortly. we're talking about how, you know, the beautiful Pilsner that Single Cut makes, 1933, they don't often get a chance to send a lot of it out into the world, because it's so time-consuming to make, and, you know, you can only make so much. So, Dan, let me just get this straight. You can't, you don't have the opportunity to bring the Pilsner to other cities besides New York City.
Yeah, unfortunately not. At the end of the day, it's a great thing, because it means that all of our friends and neighbors in New York are digging on what we do. And, you know, that for us is the most important thing. But we love sharing with our friends abroad as well. But yeah, you know, just to kind of underline it, in the kind of modern craft beer scene right now, our flagship beer, which is called 18 Watt, which is this beautiful and super intense, we call it a New York style session IPA, only because it's been hazier in New York a little bit longer than we've encountered that New England phrase.
Mm-hmm.
That beer is super intense, and it takes us about one-third of the time to make as it does for our Pilsner. So you can kind of see after a while, one more reason why IPA has become such a dominant style. Not only is it so big and vibrant, but it's nice, big, intense, broad strokes. People can really wrap their mind around it pretty easily. And then from a production side, when you're comparing a 14-day turnaround, or, you know, 16, 17, whatever it is, for an IPA versus 6 weeks for a Pilsner, not just what people want to drink, but what brewers can make starts to have a big impact. So for us, we can make a lot more IPA than we can make Pilsner. So that's kind of the biggest reason why we aren't able to sell as much of it, is just the brass tacks of how long it takes to make things. Now, granted, sometimes everybody's got their own little brew house secrets, and I'm not going to be in the business of necessarily sharing ours here.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always take that long for everybody, but for us, it takes us quite a while, just because we want it to be the way that we know it's supposed to be. So I guess it's one more reason that every time you have a great, crisp, dry lager, you know, just bursting with flavor and aroma, just take a little extra moment and appreciate it, because there's some brewer somewhere who worked really, really hard to make a lot of money on that Pilsner. Yeah. They brewed it just because they loved it and they wanted to share it with you.
Now, as far as your IPAs go, you make a lot of really, really cool IPAs, and I think they have, a nice kind of scale of, different hops that you use, different levels of alcohol, different malt intensities. You know, you kind of you make this rainbow of IPAs, which I really, really appreciate. And you do kind of these limited release. All right, we're doing this IPA. We've only made so much. This gets released. So it's kind of, ever-changing, pretty exciting. And a lot of those make their way, or a couple of them make their way down to D.C. I've seen them before in the craft beer cellar on H Street.
Mm-hmm.
Where else do you guys bring them in D.C.? I just want to give our listeners, here in the district, a little inside scoop of where to find these beers.
Yeah, totally, absolutely. In bulk, thanks to our friends at the Cabal Distribution Group, who have been great to our beer. They have a great portfolio. They've actually gotten our beer at a whole bunch of places around D.C. I know the folks at All Purpose pour a bunch at their location in downtown, and also their new spot by the National Park. Pizzeria Paradiso has been super kind to us. The folks at Jack Rose have it quite often. And then, of course, your alma mater over at the Church Key Group, they pour through a bunch of it. And then got to get a little bell you can ding every time you see craft beer sellers, because that group is so cool. All up and down the East Coast, just this big group of really awesome independent shops that are doing a great job at making sure that small batch, handmade, really honestly made beer is getting into the right hands and being treated properly. So a big ups to those cats on H Street, I think it is. You said, like, agree. Are doing great, and we're not sending as much down as we'd like right now, just because we just don't have the liquid, but we're working on that, and there'll be a lot more coming down into D.C. towards the end of the summer, and we're really excited to go share that with you guys. And then I couldn't have said it any better. I'm going to steal all of your lines today, Sarah Jane, because
totally.
you're selling, you're describing my brand better than even I could. Rainbow is a great way to put it. We're a big believer in that IPAs should always have a distinctive character to them, and it should be really multifaceted and should be always the great work that comes about by pairing the perfect yeast with the perfect blend of malt, and most importantly, the perfect blend of hop varietals, which for us is always huge, huge blend.
Now, you guys source hops from all over the world, correct?
Totally. Yeah, I know you've got a little wine background, and I do a little bit as well.
Very, very little wine background.
The way I always love to talk about hop varietals is we shouldn't talk about them like they're a commodity, because they're not. That's a very old way of thinking. They really are varietal. The whole notion of harvest has a lot to do with it. They vary. But most importantly, it's terroir. I mean, they change so intensely. From not just like geographical region, but just from where they're grown, individual farms and producers. So for us, one of the things that we do that's kind of unique is we don't make featured hop beers. Forget about single hop. We don't even do featured hop beers. We have a beer that's, say, a Citra IPA that maybe has one or two things to kind of balance it out. We believe in huge hop blends that focus on terroir and geography. So we're much more inclined to find a hop that we really dig, kind of identify what in that particular cone we really dig, what flavor in there is making it shine, and then try and build a huge supporting cast around it to really accent and contrast with what's going on in that individual varietal.
So what does, really quick, for those of you not too familiar, so terroir is the environment around which, typically used to describe grapes in which they grow. So this is the soil that's used, the water that's used, the air that's around it, the bacteria that's around it. So you see that starting to be part of the hop descriptors, where it's grown, what the elevation was, what the soil was, what water did they use, that kind of thing that, affects the different kind of aspects of the characters that you get with both the aroma and flavors of the hops. With your hop selection process, You know, are you going to the specific hop farms? Or are they sending you samples? You know, what does that kind of look like in a brewery?
Yeah, we're sampling and doing sensory tests all the time. And experimentation is a big part of who we are, too. You know, we're the rock and roll brewery, so we try and take that those lessons to heart. So we're not afraid to take big risks and make big jumps, play with new things that aren't, you know, haven't been run through the grinder yet and every little possible aroma, note, detail. We like to go with our gut and make the, you know, take some adventure into our brewing.
Yeah. And what, so, and for our listeners who maybe aren't familiar, what is, what does that kind of sensory look like as far as, you know, kind of going through the hops themselves and evaluating them?
Yeah. So it'll be a few different ways we'll do it. Rich is super, super hands-on still with our brewing process. In fact, he does pretty much the exclusive recipe creation for us. So anything I say, I'm saying through him and for him, because he's really the master of all of our, the master of our magic, I guess would be the way to say it. So, yeah, Rich is getting in hops from all over the world. Rich, you're really big and early adopters of hops from the Southern Hemisphere, so especially New Zealand and Australia, which are very, very popular now, but these have been brewing staples for us since the inception in 2012, but that would trace its real history back to 2009, 2010, when the initial batches were, you know, kind of being tested out and really discovering what they were all about.
And sorry to interrupt. For those of you out there, the Southern Hemisphere hops have become very, very popular in the last couple of years, especially with the New England IPA craze, because these are hops that give off a lot of tropical fruit notes. So we're thinking like guava, papaya, mango, that kind of thing. So, all right, Dan, bring us back. So we got, you get the hops in from all different places. You know, physically, what do you all do to evaluate these hops?
Yeah, so this is, that's going to basically be pretty simple. That's just putting them together, rolling them up in your hands so you can let all the oils get out, and then just kind of smelling around to see how it all works out together. A lot of experimentation, a lot of making good, experience-based guesses, for lack of a better word. And then really always refining and tweaking, making sure that everything gets a little bit better each time. We have this very puritanical motto at our brewery. It's actually plastered on the side of the building. And as cheesy as it kind of sounds, we take it to a huge heart. And our motto is mastery knows no shortcut.
What was that again? Say the motto one more time, because I absolutely love it, real quick.
Mastery knows no shortcut.
Nice. I like that.
Which is a classic Richism. I don't know where he picked it up, but I'm sure he has a good story for that. And we really take it to heart for us. We're all big zealots over here. We're really, really obsessed with making sure that we put the best thing we can out into the market to share with folks. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, craft beer is not a money game. It's not a super profitable industry. It's more akin to restaurants than it is to being any kind of a manufacturing business. We do it because we love it. We do it because it's what we're put on this earth to do. That sounds so dramatic when you say it like that.
No, but you gotta, you know, you gotta have that passion.
Yeah, totally. We're all about it. So, so for us, it's all about just taking good, calculated risks, not being afraid to do something bold and all out. And the reward for that is really intense flavors that sometimes you get to discover first. And so we were really stoked on those guys. And I can't sing the praises of the terroir from New Zealand anymore. If anybody listening, you're a big wine drinker and you love those, you know, Marlborough Sauvignon Blancs with their really intense pineapple and that little bit of almost jalapeno pepper and those really, really soft, mushy tropical fruits and even that oh-so-gross-sounding but so tasty in wine cattiness, quote-unquote. You know, go out and find yourself a New Zealand hop beer and you'll be really pleased to see that it's a very, very similar experience. Terroir is just the everything, man. If it grows together, it goes together, so they say. And those hops really, really take on a lot of the same characteristics of you know, that really juicy fruit you would get from those nice warm climates. They're just really awesome, man. They're the best.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us, especially fresh off the plane in Nashville. please, if you're in the D.C. area, you know, check out one of the single cup brews, whether at the H Street Beer Cellar, you can get it in a can. There are a lot of different single cuts on draft throughout the city, whether all-purpose pizzeria down in by Nationals Park or in Shaw, Birch and Bradley Church Key on 14th Street. You got Jack Rose right here in Adams Morgan. So definitely there's a place to sample it. Thank you again for listening. This is Beer Me on Full Service Radio, recording live at the Line Hotel. Check us out at beerme.fullserviceradio.org. Thank you very much.
It's the sweetest time when the sun's gone in and the moon starts shining and we sip some wine and the incense burns and the records turn. It's the Najaba.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.